The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, We Cannot Have Peace Until All Is at Peace, in Oregon, USA, on December 4th, 1993.
We have Helen. She just came in from Canada last night. She's not initiated, but she's been on the path for quite a while now. And I really liked her story last night. So you all get to hear it today. Thank you.
Well, one day, about three weeks ago, I went to a health food store and I found a little booklet of the master. I didn't know her at that time. So I picked up the booklet and just looking at the picture meant a lot for me. I took the book and I knew by the first sight that this booklet was for me. So I picked it up, I brought it home, I read it and I said, she's going to be my master. I was already convinced that this is what I was looking for, a master like her. Her teaching is so simple, easy, and for me it was like the revelation that everybody can do it, and even me. So my husband looked at the book, he read the book, and he said, I'm already in love with her. And then my son took the book, he read it, he talked about it to his friend. My brother-in-law took the book too, and everybody in the family were convinced. Really happy to know that they discovered, like me, a new master. And I think and I hope that the master will give me the initiation. This is why I'm here today. I wanted to receive the initiation. Deep inside, I know that it's going to change my life. And it has already done a huge change in me, and I know it's only the beginning. So I'd like to say that I love the master, and I hope everybody will do too. Thank you.
How's everyone for Saturday afternoon? Not bad? Yeah. Cannot be with the rain, huh? Feel good, huh? I like rain. Yes. It's refreshing. Good for your beautiful skin.
Thank you. Please relax and enjoy Master Qinghai. Thank you.
Very touching, the speech. Didn't you find? Yes, yes. Sometimes we are touched like that. Yes. It is not because of the master, I don't think. People make a big deal out of any master and call them even the supreme master. But it is you, I think it is you, that make things happen, right? With your sincerity. Your openness of your deepest intelligence and love within yourself, that you will experience sometimes or another, in different occasions, this kind of blissful experience. We sometimes experience this or less or more in some degree. Through deepest prayer, or sometimes when we are in very deep sorrow or experience some untold suffering, that we feel that the blessing from God is very near. So meditation or contemplation, it is just another kind of opening our sincerity and our longing to be a kind of a receiver, yes, for the abundant blessing and love which is always in present throughout the universe. But perhaps sometimes coincidentally or through the arrangement of the highest intelligence, we feel some more blessing in some places, or in encountering someone special. Maybe because that someone is also in the same frequency with us, in the same sincerity and longing and openness to God, like we do. So the two unite force, and then at that moment we experience the blissful feeling or the so-called awakening. Most of us, I don't mean the audience here, but probably many of our people in this world think they are okay. They don't need to change their life. They don't need to do anything. Don't even need enlightenment. Therefore, we don't search for it. And even if the teacher or a friend, a good friend, unconditionally, out of love and devotion, come to us, to our door, we still reject him. That's what makes our world the way it is still now.
Because we do not learn the unified power. Many of us do not learn yet to use the greatest blessing that is in abundance everywhere
in the universe. We just have to stretch our hand and fetch it. And everything in our life will become smoother and to all our desires. Many of us always blame God or blame the circumstances or situation that is unfavorable to us, that many things we ask have never been fully given, or, I mean, mostly were not given. And we blame the society and from sometimes blame the government or our parents, even our school, anything we can lay hand on, we blame. But if we stop to think deeply or fairly a little bit, we should think, what do we contribute to the society or to our nation or to the world at large, and to make it become a better place instead of waiting for it to be better by itself, which is sometimes impossible. God doesn't create us here so that we can just lay in our rose bed every day and waiting for bread and butter. But we are here to learn to grow, as well as to learn to use our power, our limitless power of love and creativity, in order to make a better world wherever we happen to be incarnate. And if we do not learn to do this, then we have to return again. And that is what people call reincarnation. Because the unfulfilled desires or the unfulfilled mission, which is dormant within us, will be always awakening inside and reminding us time again and again that we have not yet finished our job. Many people think that we are okay, we are doing right, but we don't. We are not truly okay. 1/5 of the population of this world is hungry. Another large portion of the population, our brothers and sisters, are undernourished. Yes, that is according to the scientific research. It's not from me. You can read that on the newspapers or demand for the proof. And many portions of our beautiful planet are still, you know, suffering under war, conflicts, violence, and many other disasters, man-made or natural. It is because we are not okay. Even sometimes we couldn't do our hair alone, just to talk about small things. Even sometimes we don't know how to clean the house properly. Even sometimes we can't even help somebody in need the way he wants it. And we make more mess out of our good intention. Even if we want to help, we can't. That's why many projects are failing. Many good leaders have become kind of almost useless, despite their very, very best intention to help the world and their people. Why? Because we are not okay. We are not okay the way we should be okay. Not that the way we think we are okay. If everything in our life goes wrong, and many things in our life goes wrong, if many of our desires go unfulfilled, if our next door neighbors suffer, or if we suffer in any way, that is because we are not okay. It is time that we face up to our own shortcomings, our own accumulated undesirable habits in order to reshape our beauty, our godly nature, so that we can do what we want to do in perfection, or at least near perfection, or at least don't make a mess out of our good intention. Whenever we want to help or we want to better ourselves, our family, or our environment. So enlightenment is not an advertisement from our disciples for you or anyone to come and just to have a research or, you know, maybe to curiously look, see what's going on. But it is a way of life. It is a survival fact. It is a necessity, ornament in our life, here and after. If we have any religious belief, we know there is a life after death. If we don't have any religious belief, we should know, and we know also that there is life after death. Because many of medical research of death experience, near death or after death experience, and it is all these kind of informations are available to us nowadays in abundance. Many of books about enlightenment and about better our inherent power, etc., are available in the market. These are good for us. Yet, in a sense, it is not always that good. The Americans, the one who can read a lot and love to read, like the American people, because they are very intelligent. They hunger for knowledge, so they read a lot. We read a lot. I read a lot too. Before, between, and I still continue to read. It is because sometimes I have to know what is going on, what's a trend in this society in order to respond to it, or to explain, or to dissolving some of the doubt which result from these books or intellectual food. Why I said it is sometimes all these informations are not always good for us, not that good, because we love to read. We eat everything from the intellectual supermarket, and sometimes we have indigestion. Or we stuff our brain with all kind of intellectual information without truly having a personal experience. So we think we know. Oh yes, I know, Yogananda, yes, a light. I know, yes, Sanmat, light and stuff. I know, Master Chinha, yes, he teaches the same. So I don't have to come and listen to her. It's not that we come to listen. We must come so that we have the true experiences. If we did not have, or if we had some portion of the enlightened experiences, but we do not know how to go further with it, or how to nourish it, or how to live with it, or to integrate this enlightened wisdom into our daily productivity in order to serve the world. We must make our world into a heaven, not to run to heaven, because everywhere is heaven. God created only heaven. Until we mess about with our computer brain, kaput one, I mean the damaged, are not very in order. Enlightenment is the way to put ourselves back in order. It's not a kind of far-fetched heavenly mythology the way we think, but it is just a daily experience of our great resource of love and wisdom which God has bestowed upon us before we arrived in this physical dimension. If we think that heaven is somewhere higher above the cloud, then we are in trouble. Because we have to wait at least 60 years, 100 years, in order to go there while suffering all kind of misery in this world. We don't have to do that. Life is meant to be joyful for the children of the Most High. If you are the children of the king or the president only, now you go to school, how do you feel? You have guards, you have special Rolls Royce. Yes, you have all kind of privilege. Even all the school look up, on you with reverence and love, admiration, envy, and many things, right? You feel, you know your status. Now in the Bible, it is stated that we are the children of God. And He is the King of all kings. And now we live this kind of life. That we worry about pennies. That everything frightens us. Even just a bullet, that big. 1,000th of your weight could frighten you to losing your sense of dignity and anything. We even beg for our life. We do anything just to be alive, just to keep this physical body functioning. So this is not a life of dignity. This is not a life of the children of God. If we truly understand what God means, God is the owner of the whole universe, and we are the children. Can you believe it? Just talk about it and never know. It's not the way of enlightenment, and we think we are okay. As long as there's one person suffering in this world, as long as there's still war and famine going on in our neighborhood, we are not okay. Because we share the responsibility of this house that we live in. It is a big family, extended, because we can't live together, in one room. And we don't have to. We need varieties. We need different talent in order to make the world colorful and interesting. That's God wants us to do. We have so much talent. Each one should contribute something. But even with all our talents, we can't contribute as much as we want, or we cannot be as useful as we would like to be, because we're not yet okay. We lack something. We lack the true wisdom, the true love, which lay sleeping within each of us. There shouldn't be any master, there shouldn't be any teacher. There should be only friends, spiritual brothers and sisters, because we inherit the same portion of great wisdom from God. There's no difference between any master and any of the audience who sit here, and no difference between him and any child or any older citizen, because we all have the same portion of love and power within ourselves. And if we don't use it, it's the greatest waste on earth. Doesn't matter how much we recycle our material instruments here, yes, we still waste. The most wasting is that we don't know we have wisdom. We don't know we have God's power, and we forget that we are children of God. It's okay, you say you know it already, you read the Bible. Everybody knows that we are the children of God. But what makes the difference whether you know that or you don't know that? Because you're just the same like yesterday. You don't truly know. You only intellectually heard about it, and that makes a difference. If anything I say today makes sense to you, it is because I recognize this wisdom within myself. And I know you have that within yourself. It's just you don't want to use it. You reject it. You deny it. You feel too inferior about yourselves. But we don't do anything that wrong. If we do, or if we did, because we did not know. And now is the time to know what is the righteous thing to do. So we can change very quickly. How much time we spend every day in order to take care of this body. And we know it doesn't last long. But still, it's necessary to take care of it. And now, if we don't take care of our real body, then we're in even more trouble. Most of the suffering in this world due to ignorance of the greatness of our position, no other reason. Because we're ignorant of it, we identify ourselves with the habit that we learn from maybe TV as a youngster, or maybe from neighbor, from books. So we do many things that ourselves, the conscience within us, tell us that this is not correct. But we still do it, because other people do it, many people do it. Then we run into many problems. And sometimes we know we shouldn't take drugs, for example. But we feel empty within ourselves. We feel frustrated. Sometimes we have talent. We don't know how to use it and where to use it. The society sometimes rejects us for some of the prejudices, a racist problem, or anything. Or our appearance doesn't please them. So we fulfill this void with all kind of cheap substitute, which in the long run ruin us. Mentally, physically, and spiritually. It is because we do not know that we are great and how to make use of our greatness. I'm not here to collect your money or to tell you what to do or to make you into any condition that is difficult for you. Just want to help you to find your great wisdom, your greatest ability again, in order for you to better your life. And because you better your life, I better my life too. And my friends' children, my sister, brother's children, we have a better, better environment to live in. Because we are all connected with each other. Suppose you don't keep America clean and safe. Can I sit here and talk to you? Right? So we own each other everything. Suppose the farmers don't grow any crops, right? Even we have money. Can we fill our body with nutrition? No. So we own each other everything. So I cannot say that I come to teach you anything. Please don't have this notion, despite all this supreme what? Never mind, because we are all supreme. We came from the supreme source before we descend into this physical body. And we go back to the Supreme Source when our time comes. So there's no denial about our supreme status. If you don't want to acknowledge because you're humble or because you feel you're not up to it, it's up to you. But I don't want to deny my status because I know. There's nothing arrogant about it. It's just to admit what you are without any pride, without any fuss. Without false humility. Because false humility is also false. It's not true. We should be true, beautiful, and virtuous in spirit, speech, and in actions. That is a perfect human being. Even if we don't want to follow this method of enlightenment, of immediate enlightenment, we could try other things. Yes, at least, so that we can focus back again within ourselves to remember who we are and to truly understand the sentence that we are the children of God. Or for the Buddhists, we all have Buddha nature within ourselves. That means we are equally to the Buddha. And instead of worshipping the Buddha, we should worship him the right way. Yes, to recognize ourselves so that the Buddha has less work to do. If we truly want to worship a Buddha or any saint, we should become one so that he has less burden, he has less worry, and he has one more companion to uplift mankind. That's why some people don't like it when I say, don't worship the Buddha, be one. And I can show you how to be one. I can make Buddha. Not by sculpturing or carving, but by pointing into your own Buddha quality. And you have to recognize it day by day until you're fully convinced. There's a way to recognize it, facing yourself, until you're fully convinced that you are Buddha. That is the time when you're equal to all the Buddhas in the 10 directions and the 3 times, past, present, and future. We are stepping into the golden age, so we have to change. We have to leave behind all this old, useless conception of how a saint should be. Or we should leave behind this dark thinking, the negative expectation of the world and ourselves. Do something. Do something. We start from ourselves, yes? We clean our house. If our house looks filthy, we clean it first. If anything we don't like about ourselves, change it. Replace it with more positive, more virtuous quality. For example, before, when we see any homeless person, we don't bother about him. He can stand in the highway for hours under the sun, wanting to work for food. We say, oh no, I cannot take a stranger into my house. That's dangerous. Yeah, but we could give him food. Yes. We don't need to ask anything from him. Give him. For example. And then sometimes we pass by a homeless person and we feel nothing. And we don't want to help because of this and other, because of our slow reaction habit. And so we didn't help him. But when we went home, we feel something wrong. I should have done it. But then we cover it up quickly. Nah. And then you switch on TV, watch television, do other things. Don't want to listen to our conscience. That's why the world never gets better. So if it's the case, whatever we think makes the world better, at least more comfortable place for ourselves and neighbor. Whatever we can share, begin with sharing. And then we will feel a subtle change in ourselves. More love will be pouring into our consciousness and we will be aware of something. And that is a beginning. That's why the 5 precepts is just a suggestion that we should change some of the corner of our life which we do not like. It's not that we should feel so guilty or blame ourselves should we fail some of it, but it is a goal so that we go forward. For example, we try to be more loving instead of violent or anger. We be more giving instead of trying to take. We be more faithful to our partner instead of having another mistress, it could be mister. And you always blame the man, I don't know why. That woman also who want to play Madame Butterfly. Flying from one flower to the next. There are 2 kinds of flowers, male flowers and female flowers. You know that? Yes. For example, yes. This brighten our world more and create a more calm atmosphere around us so that it makes us better. And that is also a kind of meditation. We meditate anytime, anyhow, in our life. We just meditate mostly on the wrong thing. So now we just use that meditation power, switch on to the right thing, that's all. When we think too much about how to make money at the expense of others, that is also meditation. We meditate on money, you know. Yeah, we use all our concentrating power, all our mighty thinking power in order to want to get that piece of paper. And that piece of paper printed, "In God We Trust." Isn't that paradoxical? Yes. But our God is money sometimes. You see, "In God We Trust" means we have to know God. If we don't know God, how would we trust Him, right? It's very easy to say, "In God we trust," but how? Who is He? How? What does He look like? What did He do for me? Or what will He do for me that I have to trust Him, right? So we must know. And that is what enlightenment offers. We have to be enlightened in order to know what God is, who He is, and what does He do to help us every day in all detail of our activities. That is the thing we know after enlightenment. And we know more and more. If we do know God before in some of the blessed instants, then we do know Him more and more every day through the meditative attitude, through a very scientific way of maintaining our enlightening awareness. Because if we are enlightened once or twice, we still feel not yet there, too. Because if somebody is hungry for a long time now, and you give him just a little bit of water and bread, will he be satisfied? Of course not. So immediate enlightenment means you have a taste of enlightenment. And then we tell you how to nourish it, keep it every day, and expand it until you truly know the whole spectrum of enlightenment. Know your real self. And that's when you know God, because only God dwells within us. Does the Bible say there are two persons dwells within our temple? Does Jesus say that? Or Buddha say there are two Buddhas inside? Or one is a Buddha and one is a mundane person? Did he say that? No, huh? In no Bible, no scripture say there are two persons in this house, in this body. So who is that inside? Only God. If we cast aside, we overlook our habit, our accumulated knowledge of mundane nature, then there is nothing there except God, right? Because the habit, the knowledge, PhD person, is not the real self. We were not born with it, and we will not die with it. So this only real one is it, God, our true self. Yeah? But most of us forget. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Words of Wisdom. Part 2 of We Cannot Have Peace Until All Is at Peace will continue on Friday. Please keep your dial tuned here to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success, coming up next, right after Noteworthy News. May the Providence guide your life in nobility, wisdom, and love.